Every choice we make has an end result. Zig Ziglar said that. Every choice we make has an end result. Question comes to you today. Are you in the faith of Jesus Christ? Are you saved? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are saved? See, most people would say, matter of fact, I think the statistic is 72 to 74% of people, when asked if they, when they die or they go into heaven, they say, yes, I am. But Jesus says, the way is narrow and few find it. You see, I believe a lot of people who are sitting in church pews, sitting in church chairs, have never accepted Christ. One of the greatest fears as a pastor I have is that as I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, that people accept something less than Jesus. They accept being Baptist, or they accept a messenger, they accept what I say, they accept the music, they accept their own goodness, or they say, accept some religious principles, but they miss Jesus. How do you know that, Brother Kevin? Because so many people who have decided to accept Jesus, say a little prayer and walk an aisle and get baptized, but their life looks no different than the rest of the world. And so many, listen, half the people on the church pews, on the church rolls, cannot even be found today. What? Jesus gives us this stern warning in Matthew chapter 7. Now listen, he's talking on the, he's on the hillside and he's preaching. This is called the Sermon on the Mount, and we're taking a portion of that and we're beginning to look at what Jesus is giving a warning about to us. Have your Bibles turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Test yourself to see whether you're in the faith of Jesus Christ or not. Paul Washer said it this way in his book, "We have forgotten the narrow way." Says so many people professing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and yet when you look at their lifestyle, it appears with all evidence that they're walking in the broad way. They live just like everybody else in the world. Many people say, you know what, I made a decision, and really what they've done, they've not made a decision for Jesus, they've just made a decision to add more religious things to their life. More rites, more rituals, more routines, more principles, and yet they've resisted Jesus in the narrow way. Listen to the warning that Jesus gives us as we begin reading in Matthew chapter 7. Verse 13 says, "Now enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. And every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" Let's pray together. Father God, break us. Break this mindset of being religious. Break this mindset of being a good person. Humble us before the cross. Holy Spirit, I pray that you dig deep into our souls today. Bring the question of whether we're in the narrow way or not to mind. Holy Spirit, you stir us. You convict us. God, we give ourselves a pass so easily. The greatest tragedy is missing you, missing our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let not one person in the sound of my voice miss Jesus Christ today. In his name we pray. Amen. There are three very vivid truths that Jesus teaches us and warns those who are listening. The first truth is this: choose the narrow path as opposed to the wide path of life. We see in verse 13 and verse 14, it says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Let's look at this narrow gate. Jesus says in verse 13, enter the narrow gate. Jesus compels his listeners to intentionally choose by an act of their faith and their will to follow him. To follow him, not just to make a decision, but to actually follow, to be a disciple of his. The Holy Spirit calls you out to salvation. Listen, even now he is stirring in your heart to respond in faith and repentance to Jesus. See, this gospel message that Jesus is God's Son who lived a perfect life and died to save you from your sin. We all have a sin problem. We all are in the same condition, a sin problem. Now, the condition comes to this, whether we choose to pay for our sins ourselves, or do we accept what Jesus has already done and paid our price for us? Do we accept what he's done as ours, or do we pay our own price? See, when we accept Jesus, we're saved, we're born again, we enter the narrow way. But when we say, listen, I've got it myself, I'm a pretty good person, I'm not real bad, you know, I think I'm okay, I do enough good things for other people, I do enough good things around the church, then I'm all right with God. Jesus is calling you to salvation. See, the message of grace and forgiveness in Jesus is going out to everyone this morning. That call goes out, the gospel call to come to Jesus. Jesus is standing at the narrow gate. If you can picture yourself before the narrow gate in the broad way, and Jesus is standing there, says, enter here, and he's calling all people to come over here. Jesus says, whosoever will come. And he's calling people to come to the narrow way. And so many says, religion, religion, religion. And Jesus says, I am the way. This message is going out to you this morning in the power of the Holy Spirit, calling to salvation. And the Holy Spirit now is even working in people's lives. In this congregation, he's working in your life. By those who are watching by Facebook or by website, he's dealing in your life right now to call you, to change you, to transform you, to save you. You see, Jesus is a Savior. Listen, respond to him in faith and repentance of your sin. Choose Jesus the narrow way. Verse 14 says, small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. See, we skip over that part. He says, only a few find it. Only a few enter through Jesus, the narrow gate. John 3:16, Jesus tells us very, John tells us very, very plainly. He says, For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, and whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The invitation to the world is open. The whosoever's. I'm so glad that I'm a whosoever. And I'm so glad that you are a whosoever. And God is calling you to salvation. God doesn't pick and choose. He said, whosoever. The lost world would simply choose their way. They will not choose Jesus, the narrow way. They may choose religion. They may choose, you know, being good, having a good behavior, promising to be a better person. But listen, they will not choose Jesus apart from the Holy Spirit calling them. We see Jesus said this in John 14:6. It says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But then he comes back on this and says in John 6:44, he says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. Catch this. Jesus is saying, hey, come on over to the narrow way. Choose me. He says, whosoever. Then he says, the Father's calling you. No one comes to me unless the Father draws you. Listen, the Father is drawing many, many, many to come to Jesus. How many respond? You see it, the Holy Spirit changes us. He regenerates us. He draws us to Jesus and God's grace. And it's so sweet that we dive right in because we want more and more and more. We want to know Jesus. Listen, when you enter the narrow way, you're walking there with Jesus. You want more of it because you've had a taste of that sweet grace that's forgiven you for all of your sins. That burden is light. You want more of Jesus. That's why I don't understand. I don't understand how a person can walk up here in tears and say, I want Jesus to be my Savior. Listen, come meet with me in my office in tears. And we go through Scripture and we go and we're baptized. And everybody sees that. And in 6 months, I can't find them. It makes no sense to me. Because when you taste the sweet grace of God, you just want more of it. It doesn't make you a perfect person. Are you going to slip and fall? Yes, you will. But God will dust you off and put you back on the narrow way. But when somebody walks away, all I can say is they've never experienced the grace of God. They've never been regenerated. They've never had a life change. Because when there's a life change, you don't look like the world anymore. Are you perfect? No. But there's this process that the Holy Spirit is bringing you through. He's refining you day by day, year by year, to be more into the image of Christ. For somebody just to walk away, see, they never knew Jesus. Because when you know Jesus, you enter the narrow way. Oh, they may have gotten religion. They may have become a Baptist. They may have learned some things. You know what the sad part is? Is there are a lot of people who have just enough Christianity to be inoculated from the real thing, Jesus. They have just enough religion to be inoculated from a relationship with Jesus. Just enough. They think they're okay. Well, I made a decision for Jesus, then I'm okay. Listen, what is your life saying about you? Is there some perseverance? Is there some growth? Is there some discipleship? Is there servanthood? You see, as Baptists, we wash this out so much. We overlook. Jesus says, enter the narrow way. We just want everybody to feel good about themselves. We want them to say a little prayer. You know, make Jesus forget. Let's get baptized. And, you know, we try to put them in a Sunday school class. And then we use this little cliche. Well, once saved, always saved. They hadn't been to church in 5, 6, 10 years. Listen, it's called perseverance of the saints. In other words, when you've tasted the grace of God, you persevere because Jesus sustained you. You don't run, you don't walk away, you don't leave the faith. You're there with Jesus the whole time. And we cheapen the grace of God. I won't talk about another denomination. I'm talking about us. We've cheapened the grace of God. Jesus says, enter the narrow way, meaning him. Jesus tells about the narrow way. Then he tells about the wide and broad way. Verse 13 says, "For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it." Many choose the broad way. The gate is wide and it has much appeal to those seeking religious rituals in their life. Broad road. It offers religion and spirituality and all sorts of life beliefs and principles that fit into the desires of a person. In other words, on the broad way, you can kind of design what you want to believe, whether the Bible backs it up or not. Just design it. You're the little G God. You're in control of your life. You can have it like you want it. Sounds like Burger King. Have it your way. See, on the broad road, ultimately, you are in control. You design the life as you see fit. You are the one who has to set your own destiny. See, even in Christian churches today, many have made a religious decision for the broad road. They sprinkle enough Christ in there that they believe that they're on the narrow path. They hang on to some emotional decision or delusion, more like it, that they were compelled to make by their parents, maybe by friends, maybe by a Sunday school teacher, maybe by a preacher, maybe by a priest, maybe a youth minister. Maybe they went to a conference. Maybe they went to an evangelistic crusade. Maybe they went to a concert and just felt all emotional and stirred. And they responded, but they responded in a delusion. Don't you think Satan won't use Christian tactics and Christian methodologies to fool people to think that they're on the narrow road and they're really in the broad way? Just enough Christianity sprinkled on them to think that they're saved. Just enough. See, they chose religion and not a relationship with Jesus. They didn't choose Jesus. They chose a feeling of religion. They did not become a disciple or follower of Jesus. They become more religious than they used to be. Their life does not reflect growth in Jesus, spiritual maturity, or following after Christ. Why do people choose wrongly? Surely if people hear the truth, they will be sure that they are in Christ on the narrow road and reject the broad path. Surely when they hear the truth. You see, that's where Jesus comes in, the next part. He further warns us from verse 15 on down. See, there are true and false preachers and teachers, and they share similar pulpits but different doctrines. Similar pulpits but different messages. And they'll take the same verses and twist them around out of context to do it. And people says, well, the Bible says. No, that's not what the Bible says. It has those words in it, but it's taken out of context to which God meant them. Verse 15 says, watch out for false prophets. See, there are wolves in sheep's clothing who look very religious. They look very holy. They act very holy. Verse 15 says, they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ferocious wolves. See, Jesus always characterizes true believers as sheep. Why? Because sheep follow the shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. And sheep follow the shepherd. We must be aware of this terrible reality. And be cautious of wolves. Wolves are enemies of the sheep. They will often appear as sheep ready to lead other sheep astray and then ravage them. Wolves pretend to be sheep and infiltrate the lives of those needing the shepherd with terrible deception. Many are fooled and deceived, and then they're devoured spiritually. I love what Paul Washer said about this. He says, one of the greatest distinguishing marks of a false prophet is that he will always tell you what you want to hear. that he will always tell you what you want to hear. He will never rain on your parade. Talking about rain. He will get you clapping. He will get you jumping. He will make you dizzy. He will keep you entertained, and he will present a Christianity to you that will make your church look like a Six Flags over Jesus. Do you know of any preachers like that? Turn on the TV, you'll find a whole bunch of them. See, many chase the broad road. They choose this broad way because they have followed deceptive preachers and teachers who proclaim a prosperity message. They tell people what they want to hear and cheapen the grace of God. They trample over God's grace. They think their good attitude and their good works and their good behavior will merit them heaven. That God's favor is upon them. Listen, God's favor is on us when he sent Jesus Christ to the cross to die for our sins. That's God's favor. People are falling victim to these ferocious wolves, proclaiming positive, uplifting messages, void of the truth of our depraved, lost, sinful condition without Jesus. I can't stand what's... Listen, I'm so tired of the negativity. I just want to hear positive things. Then you're only wanting to live in half the world then. You see, when we only want positive messages, we don't want to hear messages that sin rules our life apart from Jesus Christ. We have a bent nature towards sin, and Jesus is the only one who can take that bent nature and straighten us out on the narrow way. He's the only one who can do differently. Listen, we are depraved without Jesus. Our mind is bent towards selfishness. Leave us alone for a few moments with the things that are deep desires in our heart, and we'll quickly go to those. Church has become a spectacle of religious entertainment, absent of the life-changing power of the Holy Ghost. So often, church has become entertainment. What can the preacher do next? What can the band do next? What kind of next big event can we have? Entertainment. And there's no life change. Jesus warns about this. People are led astray by their own desires to simply feel good about themselves rather than a reality check with God. Listen to Paul's warning to Timothy about the times. Timothy, this young pastor. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 through 4 says, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. He says, for a time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Paul was speaking loudly to this generation thousands of years ago, speaking to us because it's a human problem that we want to hear the good things. We want people to give us compliments. We want people to ta-ta's. That's the French word, huh? We want people to ta-ta's, huh? We like to feel better about ourselves. We don't want to hear that without Jesus we're lost. We don't want to hear if we're left alone, our depraved mind and our thoughts and our desires begin to take over. We don't want to hear that because that's negative. The reality is, people who are chasing after all positive messages are surrounding themselves. They're going to churches and they're hearing ministers that just preach good, positive messages. Never a reality check of who we really are. And all that does is ta-ta people along on the broad way. Just enough Christianity sprinkled to make them think they're on the narrow way. Jesus said in verse 16, by their fruit you will recognize them. Do not be deceived to follow just what sounds good. This is not your best life now. Plant yourself in Jesus. Grow roots and sound doctrinal teaching from Scripture. Welcome the pruning that God brings from the Holy Spirit. Listen, Christian, don't be afraid for the Holy Spirit to clip some things out of your life. Does it hurt? Does it sting? Yes. Because we've been feeding it for a long time and it's been living off of us. So when it's clipped, does it sting? Yes. But we will produce better fruit. It does hurt to be rebuked by God's word, yet we are being pruned to bear fruit for Jesus. Many on the broad road that is well traveled and very inviting, yet listen to the results of the broad path, filled with religion rather than the narrow path of relationship with Jesus. Here's your hard reality check. The third thing. There are true and false disciples. True and false disciples. Jesus tells whosoever to enter the narrow gate. He warns about the broad way that most choose. And he gives reason many choose the broad way. And now Jesus speaks of the judgment that awaits people who thought their Christian religious practices would get them to heaven. We see in verse 21. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. But only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven, those who have chosen Jesus on the narrow way. Not those who have chosen religion, be it Baptist, Catholic, Pentecostal, Methodist, whatever, Buddhist, Hindu. See, with these warnings, why is it this vast majority of people believe that they, when they die, they're going to heaven? I've done many, many funerals. Listen. No one's ever come to me and said, Pastor, he was lost. He didn't go to heaven. There was never fruit in his life at all. No one said that in 15 years of doing funerals. Jesus says, few find it. But in our mindset, we're thinking everybody finds it. We've been deceived by Satan thinking that everyone is saved. Everyone who has a religious belief is saved. And we're so wrong. Jesus warns us. Why is it that we assume that all people are good and that God would just let them into heaven? When Jesus himself, the judge, warns that this feel-good, emotional, religious, self-entitlement attitude is not salvation. Those who are on the broad road are all lost without Jesus. Many who sit in the pews of Christian churches have accepted religion as their methodology to get to heaven. And they've missed Jesus all the way around. They hold a belief that they are good people who do good things. And they go to a Christian church so they can't miss it. Listen to this horrific message that Jesus gives in verse 22. He says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy or preach? He's talking to preachers. In your name. Did we not drive out demons in your name and perform many miracles? Wait a minute. These people standing before Jesus on the broad road had just enough Christianity sprinkled in their lives to believe that they were saved on a narrow road. And they're saying, listen, didn't we preach in your name? Didn't we drive out demons in your name? And Jesus says, I'll look at them. I'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. Oh, church, today, let us not be that person who missed Jesus, because you want to be religious, because you want to be Baptist, because you want to be Catholic, because you want to be Presbyterian or Methodist, whatever you want to be, and you want to be a good person. Listen, all those things are nice, but that's not salvation. Salvation is in Christ alone. Jesus plus nothing equals salvation. You can hear these people standing before Jesus, giving all the things that they've done. Listen, they bragged on themselves. They bargaining with God with all their great acts to try to impress Him. For many church folks, they want to tell God how good they are and how many good things they do for others. And all of this, still they base their salvation on their own goodness and their own works rather than Jesus. And Ephesians tells us, you know, for grace we are saved through faith, not by works, lest any man should boast. Many fail to humbly respond to Jesus' grace and faith and repentance to enter the narrow path that leads to salvation. Jesus tells a parable about the wheat and the tares. He says a man went out and planted seed one day. He went to bed that night, and that night his enemy came and threw the seeds of tares and other weeds among his wheat. As the crop began to come up, his servants came to him. He says, "Sir, did you plant bad seed?" He said, "No, I planted good seed. The enemy came and put weeds among them, planted weeds among them." And he said, "Should we send out the harvesters to pull the weeds up?" He said, "No. If you do that, you're going to pull up some of the good wheat too. Wait to harvest time, then we'll separate them. We'll take the wheat out, and we'll take the weeds and burn them." The message is this, church. Is there a lot of people who are sitting in church pews today who are weeds? They've never accepted Christ. Coming up, they look like us. They act like us. Probably smell like us. But you see, wheat bears grain. It bears fruit. Weeds only propagate more weeds. Oh, today, what a hard saying. Are you a wheat or are you a weed? Are you one on the narrow way, trusting Jesus Christ alone for your salvation? Or are you trusting yourself and you're trusting that you're a good person, that you do good works? If I ask you the question today, are you going to heaven or not, would your answer be, "Well, I think I'm a good person"? And you're trusting yourself for your salvation, and sadly, you will be disappointed. Because the only way to salvation is I'm trusting Jesus. Because there is nothing good in me apart from Christ. I'm depraved, I'm lost sinner. And without Jesus, I'll go to hell. Jesus has already paid the price for your sins. Would you accept Jesus? He's calling you to the narrow way. Paul Washer said this. I love this. He says, when a man gets saved, he gets saved from God. The justice of God was coming for you. God saved you from himself. But God also saved you for himself. And God saved you by himself. Oh, today, it breaks my heart to think in 15 years of preaching that there's been people who've walked an aisle and said, "I want to be saved." And they didn't accept Jesus. They accepted an emotional decision from the preaching of it. they've walked away. Never entering the narrow way, they just became more religious on the broad way. Listen, today, please don't be that person on the broad way, just trying to do better than you used to, when you've missed everything, and everything is Jesus. Jesus, it's so simple. It's humility. It's breaking that the Holy Spirit comes to us and says, you are a lost sinner without Jesus. And you fall humbly before him and say, I need Christ. Lord, I can't do this. Heaven is not mine without you, Jesus. I accept what you did on Calvary's cross for my own. I can't do this. There's nothing good in me. Lord, left alone, I'll go with my bent nature. Accept you as my Savior. I enter the narrow way with you. You see, you pursue after Christ. It's amazing the life change it brings. Just be you. Just be the you that God called you to be. And it's amazing the transformation he brings in your life. But on the broad way, you're always trying to do something different. More religious, more action, more this, more that, to try to better your chances to get to heaven. Jesus warns us about that. Says, enter the narrow way. Don't follow after false doctrines and false teachers. The result is terrible. Follow after Jesus. In him, pursue living a life pleasing to him. Jesus says those who are saved are the ones who are obedient to God. Obey my Father. Church, this is a hard sermon to hear. It's a hard message to hear. But when I look at it, I do a reality evaluation. We've baptized hundreds of people. There's about 900 on the roll. In any given Sunday, I can only expect 300 to 400 people. When I look at our tithes and our offerings, you say, oh, he's talking about money again. No, you know what that is? That's a reflection of your heart. What's going on in your heart? You see, the love of money is the root of evil. All sorts of evil. You see, when connection groups are just getting started off, and we don't want to do that. You see, we're denying discipleship, we're denying opportunities to grow. When you do a hardcore evaluation of what's really going on in our church, I have to say, what's going on in lives? And I walk away, I'm like, Lord, why aren't people wanting to grow more for you? They don't have they just got enough religion? They come, they hear good music, they hear a message, and they're happy and they're satisfied. That's all they want. Do we have just enough Christianity sprinkled in our life to say I'm good? Or have we entered this narrow gate, this difficult path, that we're going to follow Christ no matter what. And we're going to grow. And we're going to spread the gospel to others. Oh, church. Hardest thing this pastor has to deal with is knowing that I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I repeat it. The gospel of Jesus Christ. And people have accepted something less than Jesus. Have you accepted something less than Jesus? Let's pray together. Father God, today, we're so grateful for this opportunity just to look at this message, this Sermon on the Mount that you gave to listeners thousands of years ago. It applies to us today. God, my heart breaks for people sitting in church pews and church chairs that God, somehow they missed you for something else. Oh, Father, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, you show each person in the sound of my voice where they stand with you. Don't let this preacher do it. Lord, you do it. If they've been on the broad way, may they listen, cry out to you to enter the name.